The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Mary Coy is back. She's the CEO of Wolf Asset Management International. It's a company that she operates in all time zones. She's got across all investment strategies in the funds of funds business. And for our listeners who have not met Mary before, she gained her experience in all alternative markets during her 18 years at Cargill, where she was a trader, a trading manager, and president of Cargill Asset Management. Mary, it's great to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Kathleen. How are you?
Just great. Just great. I can't believe it's already almost mid-March and winter's almost over. The year already speeding by so quickly. Gold is so much on people's minds. Over the last couple of years, many people have put, I think, disproportionate amounts of their investments into gold and precious metals, and they're worried now that maybe they missed getting out at the peak. You're not convinced the peak is in?
No, I'm not convinced the peak is in. Obviously, gold itself is vacillating between 1,500 and 1,700. I'm not convinced the peak is in, and obviously it's quite dependent on what governments do. So it's a market that's not necessarily moving on its own fundamentals. But in any case, for me personally, I do not think the top is in gold.
When you say it depends on what governments do, do you mean it depends on, you know, whether governments allow mining, or, you know, restrictions, regulations, or do you mean things like central bank buying?
It's both. Certainly central bank buying is critical. Certainly quantitative easing is critical. And not followed as much is just what governments are doing to destroy mining industries around the world in terms of raising costs and taxes and so forth.
So let's start from the one of the most basic questions for gold. There's some debate over whether or not gold is truly an inflation hedge. But if people are anticipating inflation, they often buy gold. Janet Yellen said, you know, we're going to be in ease mode for a long time. The Fed vice chair, the new head of the Bank of Japan, going to do everything he can to create some inflation in the Japanese economy. For you, is this one of the main reasons why you still see gold moving higher from here?
Yes, and of course the program that the U.S. has is expanding, not contracting, and adding Japan into the mix certainly has an impact on that, and we are still in the race to the bottom as it relates to currencies. Gold is a currency. It is obviously mainly impacted by the value of the dollar. The dollar's been strong recently, but one has to question whether the dollar will continue to be strong in relation to other currencies and in relation to gold when we see a situation where U.S. GDP is under some pressure from spending cuts.
So you're saying gold will rise really because of all the negatives in the world, fear of inflation, fear of a weaker dollar?
Well, gold is expensive, and that's why it's expensive, is fear. Obviously, if you have gold in a situation where there's a lot of amount of deflation, people buy gold as a store of value. That's like an option. It's an option on having your net worth not decline. So it has that option value. If there's then inflation on the opposite extreme, of course, gold goes up. And so in a sense, it's a hedge against the risks, the tail risks on both ends of the spectrum. And when you're in the middle, which is to say maybe growth looks okay, maybe we got through the financial crisis okay, and people have done the things they need to do in order to make the world a safe place, then maybe you don't want to own gold, and that's where we are at the moment.
In other words, it's just not quite the right time right now is what you're saying. We're sort of betwixt and between?
Yes, we are betwixt and between right now, and so gold is essentially in a broad sideways correction, which may ultimately be the top, and if it is, it will be because the world is a much better place, and we stay in that sweet spot where things aren't deflationary, they're not inflationary, and we remain there. I'm in a camp where that's a very hard thing to imagine, that we can stay in that sweet spot given what's going on with government debts.
So, Mary, you were saying that the reason you don't see us staying in this kind of neutral sweet spot between like Goldilocks and her porridge, right? Not too hot, not too cold. Not inflation, not deflation, is because you're concerned about debt. What are you looking at?
Well, it's very difficult for the Federal Reserve, the U.S. government, all the moving parts to stay in a sweet spot. I mean, it's a bit like being on top of a peak and having to balance there between deflation and inflation. So, you know, what is the probability that with this amount of total debt and total deficit spending by the United States and other governments that we're going to be able to perfectly manage that and sit in the sweet spot for a very long period of time is just not. It's just not a probable scenario. It's much more likely that we will, move toward inflation or deflation, and both of which are potentially bullish for gold.
And, of course, there's any other number of factors, too, including and not least the actual physical supply. Where will that go, Mary?
Well, it, of course, depends on the price, and gold is and gold production is highly sensitive to the gold price. And so if it sits in a range like this, most gold companies, well, virtually all with good production, are producing good earnings, even including if you fully cost their exploration costs. So, they're going to continue to produce at 1,500, 1,600, and they're going to continue to try to expand production. So most of that production expansion is difficult in the traditional markets like the U.S. and South Africa. We are seeing expanding production in places like China. But as many people have said, and this remains true, at these prices, you don't see extreme amounts of exploration going on where people want to run around and find new gold. In fact, that's really being shut down as the industry has started to be faced with complaints from shareholders that they're spending too much money trying to find new gold. So the long-term outlook for finding new gold supplies is not good.
There's a story on Bloomberg today, Mary. A record wave of consolidation in China's mining industry is creating bigger companies that will have the muscle to compete with the likes of BHP Billiton for overseas acquisitions. Do you see that trend occurring, and what will it mean for gold as an investment?
Yes, absolutely. There's been a general trend in China for some time, many, many years, where they prefer not to buy U.S. treasuries and earn nothing. They, in fact, would rather own hard assets. And so there's been an acquisition cycle for a very long time, of course, around the world, and building these large companies that can support their core commodity-based industries by actually having assets in the ground. That is going to continue, and it is going to continue in gold. And we've seen a trend of buying gold out of China, but we've also seen a trend where the central bank wants to own a lot more gold. Now, the reporting out of the Chinese central bank is not the best. It's not very frequent, but clearly the trend is in place. If they want to have a currency that can be a fully convertible reserve currency, they have to buy more gold, and they are doing that.
Mary, I want to ask you about the spread between platinum and gold. They've been sort of trading places in recent weeks.
That's right. Of course, platinum being a much more economically sensitive item. And so you've seen this ebb and flow where if people are scared to death, they want gold. And if they think the economy is growing globally, then they want platinum. And so they've been bouncing back and forth with one or the other being more expensive. Of course, platinum's worth more. And platinum, on a historic basis, is not really expensive, and gold is. But that, again, reflects the fear factor that there's only one real currency, and that's gold.
Well, do you get people, hedging one with the other?
Oh, certainly. We trade one against the other. Lots of people do. And when gold is, very expensive like this, and people get bullish on the economy, you will see people buying platinum and selling gold. And then, of course, when people only want to own gold because they think the world is going to end, then they don't care what the price is. They'll tend to buy gold and sell platinum against it.
What is do you have a price target for gold?
Well, there's been some debate in the press, and I think that this is accurate. If you look at, what causes gold to be valued, you can look at its option value. You can look at historic price movements and how big they are. Because it's not a pure S&D market, and there's a lot of speculative activity, you have to look at those kinds of things, and then you have to compare them with maybe the technicals and, you know, how big is the move, how big should it be. But gold is pricing in already quite a lot of inflation, and in an extreme scenario where you saw, you know, a very extreme scenario where you saw inflation in the teens, then you can imagine a scenario where gold would double.
When I ask you for some sort of price target, some sense of how high could gold and gold could go in your estimation, you said, I think that if there's enough inflation, it could double in price?
That's right. Yeah, that would be my extreme target, would be a double. And some people are talking about how this current correction could be a midpoint, and that could be correct. If we stay in the sweet spot, it may be the top. It is the top. And if we don't stay in the sweet spot, then you can make a strong case for, you know, one more doubling of gold prices.
Wow. From 1,700?
1,500 is the low end of that, so, you know.
At least 3,000 then.
That would be more than halfway again.
Okay.
But, you know, in the 2,500, 2,600 zone is a possibility.
Now, does the Federal Reserve have to lose the fight against inflation for that to happen? Because even people who are critical of the Fed would say they don't see much sign of inflation building broadly in the economy right now. Ben Bernanke has defended himself recently as one of the best Fed chairmen with a record on inflation in the post-World War II era. Do we have to bet that somehow the Fed lets the inflation genie out of the bottle for that to happen?
Well, that's you know, one half of the scenarios. That's the scenario where not only the U.S., but the world economy gets traction on an excess of money in the system, and that they literally can't unwind it fast enough before inflation sets in, and you get sort of a fear cycle of inflation, and people start hoarding all assets. And so inflation doesn't just come from expanding demand. We didn't have expanding demand in Zimbabwe. But, it can happen just because people start to hoard things or have an inflation fear. Inflation is... There is no such thing as endless demand creating inflation. Inflation, a severe inflation, comes from a fear factor. And then the opposite can also be the case, where people are so afraid of deflation, of the world going into mass depression, that the only asset they want to own is gold. And so that's another hoarding scenario.
What about ETFs, Mary? You know, it's been said over the last number of years that they've become more and more of a major player in the gold market.
Yes, clearly investment demand is important, and the type of investors you have in the ETFs tend to be not necessarily long-term holders. They're more speculative in nature, and you've seen a lot of that speculation move out of the market. If you want to be positive, one of the main reasons to be positive is that gold, over the last year, has moved into stronger hands. There's less speculative investment demand, and it's moved more into the hands of central banks and people who are much more likely to hold it no matter what happens. So that's actually been a good corrective process and would be classic in terms of suggesting higher prices. But again, I'm reserving judgment. If we stay in the sweet spot and things get a lot better, which is not my base scenario, then it's possible that 1850, 1900 high was it.
So, Mary, what do those who are calling for the end of the bull market for gold, you know, this 12-year run, what have they got wrong then?
Well, they're not necessarily wrong. We'll wait and see. Things are so dependent on what governments do. It's hard for people to sit back, intelligent people who even know what they're doing, and saying, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, because we're not talking about an S&D and the ability to examine an industry and say it's going to be this or it's going to be that. It's highly dependent on what 24 individuals in central banks and in governments do, and what a few members of Congress do, and so forth. And to say that you can absolutely predict that is not correct.
You are short copper, though.
Yes. We are short copper, and that is because we anticipate much higher supplies over the next couple of years as some new copper mines come on. We are seeing some elevated pricing there from some of the stimulus spending that has been taking place, as well as support of the U.S. housing industry. So as that new supply comes on board and some of this stimulus spending starts to roll off, copper can be under pressure. It's one of the few base metals that is that's actually operating at a profit.
Broadly speaking, what about oil, Mary? I know you're not really you've been an investor in that commodity in those kinds of companies, et cetera. What about now?
Well, two factors in oil, and we're talking about crude oil here, not natural gas, and because they're very, very different. And we're talking about crude oil. Let's talk about WTI in the U.S. first. Of course, the production's expanding there. We're seeing some situations where there are surpluses sort of backed up in the system, and we don't have enough transportation methodology, whether it's pipelines or others, to get that out. So that keeps a bit of a lid on WTI. The potential for Brent to be explosive is certainly there. There are some shortages, which is, again, why there's a spread between the two. So absent a war, crude oil will, I believe, stay in a range between its recent lows at, 78 and highs in the 100 zone. So commodities don't tend to blow out one side or the other of their long-term equilibrium price unless there's some massive shock to the system. So that's the range. You can sell the high end, buy the low end.
And the EPA report on Friday, Mary, does that bode well for the northern part of the Keystone going ahead?
Well, the timeline of that would be the fall. And so, again, when you start to depend on the political decisions being made, you might want to say your guess is as good as mine. But if it does go ahead, and I suspect it will, then the timing would be the fall, and then there's a period of getting it going. So that's some distance off. And unfortunately, the U.S.'s effort to push its oil industry ahead and get this stuff exported is moving quite slowly.
Mary Coy, thank you for joining us today. Mary is CEO and founder of Wolf Asset Management International.
You can listen to The Hayes Advantage weekdays at 12:30 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.